This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Chipper here like he always is every Monday. Before we get to Chip's happiness, because he ran Sam Darnold out of town. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Over and over again, Sam Darnold ran, was ready to come back. But no, Chip Scoggins says, no. It's time for JJ. I want to talk about our mutual friend, Mr. Royce. Patrick joined us on the show. We talked for about 20 minutes, including a lot about what happened with him on Friday in his tweet from U.S. Bank Stadium. And he called it clumsy. He was listening to the song Brass Monkey. But the way he phrased it, some people took it the wrong way. And he reacted in the end. He has said he's going to step away from Twitter. He signed up for Blue Sky. I was basically begging him to come back to Twitter. I need the amusement. I need the fun. I need the trolling. Listen, every one of us, if we're going to offer up opinions, we're going to write things, are going to say something where maybe if we have the hindsight, we phrase it a little bit different. There are some people who just don't like Patrick because of his opinions who are right away going to jump to that. Others might say, okay, monkey, race, clean this up. And I get it, and that's what Patrick said about clumsy. I'll go first, and I want you to go after me. And I said a little bit of this before. There literally is no one in the media in the history of this state who I respect more than Patrick Royce. And people who don't know Patrick do not realize what a tremendous human being is. Ask anybody who's been around him. I've been around him since I was 5 years old, and I was a punk, annoying kid. And he read me the Riot Act 55-some years ago, and he was right. Or ask somebody like yourself who's worked with him. Patrick is a superior human being. So if you're asking me where I stand with Patrick Royce, it is 100% behind Patrick Royce. What do you want to say, Chip?
Yeah, and I apologize if my audio is a little bad. I got called into a story today, so I'm driving on the way to an interview. But
yep,
I love Pat. You know that. I wrote his book.
Feel the same.
So he used the right word. It was a clumsy tweet, and I think you'd acknowledge that. But anyone who spent any time around Patrick knows he's not a racist. He wouldn't do that.
Not
he wouldn't say
close.
That. And so I got to be honest with you. I wasn't on. It was a Friday night. I wasn't on Twitter.
Yep.
I woke up to some text messages saying he had deleted his account, telling me what happened. And I felt terrible. I felt bad for Pat because I hold him in the highest regard. He's, you know, like I said, I've spent so much time with him over the last 25 years. And so I think if you listen to his explanation, it makes sense. And it, and once I heard what happened, I could see Pat, you know, messing up that tweet, not knowing that he did it. So I'm glad we could just move on. You know, the paper issued an explanation or clarification, and we can just move on from it. So
all for it. Sam Darnold signs with Seattle. Seattle trades Geno Smith to the Raiders over the weekend. They get a third-round draft choice. They give Darnold 3 years. $55 million guaranteed, $110 million over it. You've been saying this for a while, that it was a great signing by Kwesi, but it was time to turn the page, and they're going to turn it to JJ and some other veteran. Just the last franchising conversation on Darnold, and it'll never come up again. Does this make us think at all about the franchising decision, whether the Vikings made the right or wrong decision, considering the money he did receive from the Seahawks?
No, because I don't know you could run the risk of a team be willing to give it up that high draft, or, you know, third rounder or whatever it's going to take to franchise him. I just think it wasn't worth the risk. This contract is basically what Baker Mayfield got, right? In that ballpark.
Yep.
Kind of a,
yes.
I saw a tweet that said that Sam Salary will make him the 18th highest paid quarterback. Seems about right, right? I mean, I think that's
yep.
It then, you know, earlier in the season we thought it was going to be in the $40 million range. Obviously, the last two games, I think,
changed a lot.
And from a Vikings perspective, I never understood the kind of rumors or speculation that they were still talking to him to bring him back. That made no sense to me from either side, from the Vikings side or Sam's side. This way he goes to Seattle. He knows he's a starter. He gets good money. The Vikings can use the money that they would have spent on their roster, which they have some big holes to address. And so I think both sides can benefit from him. So I think you just say, Sam, that was a wonderful season. What you did, you resurrected your career. The Vikings had a really good season, better than most people thought. It didn't end the way that we, you know, you thought it might have. But and then you just wish him well and move on and turn the thing over to JJ. Because, Chad, the whole idea last year was to set this plan in place that you have cost certainty.
Right.
With a quarterback on a rookie deal and have a bridge quarterback. Why would you rip that up at this point? You got to stick to the plan, and so now they're sticking to the plan.
Daniel Jones is a free agent. Clearly, with this resolved, they want to build on whatever professional relationship they struck with him, and he would be an ideal person to come back, but he's out there. He can talk with a lot of teams. What could get really interesting, Chip, is if Daniel Jones signs with the Colts or the Browns, some of the other teams mentioned, who else the Vikings would have to look at, because it looks like your high school teammate, Aaron Rodgers, is headed to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, did that just come out? Yeah, I was wondering where he's going to land. I just don't know, and I've seen some speculation on Twitter that there's a market for him. At what price, Chad? I just don't know. Like, I think you could get him back here on a bridge deal similar to what Darnold did. Mm-hmm. Maybe as high as 1 year, maybe as high as $15 million. But if he, you know, I just don't know what his leverage is at this point. Like, he had a terrible ending in New York and had to come here to basically, you know, just kind of stow away and get away from the pressure of it and just kind of decompress and get his career back on track. So I still have to think he winds up back here on a bridge deal, that if something goes wrong with JJ, either physically in his recovery or just, you know, performance-wise, that, you know, he would have a shot to move in a good situation that Darnold took advantage of. So, I just don't know what his market would be in terms of anything other than a bridge deal.
Last Vikings item, we'll pause because there's so much to discuss. Cam Bynum is going to Indy. 4 years, $60 million deal. Very good draft choice. Very good player. We'll miss the celebrations. They did sign Theo Jackson to a pretty good contract last year as a safety. Makes you wonder about Harrison Smith, or they're going to give plenty of time to think about it. And also the other big note today is Jonathan Allen, who has been a very good player for the Commanders, didn't play that much last year because of a significant injury. I think it was a pectoral injury. They have him coming. He would be another type of interior player that they would love to add. So just react in those items about the Vikings, because there's more Viking stuff going on, but just those ones before we get to some of the other teams in town.
It would be a good get. I mean, they absolutely have to bolster their defensive interior. His rep is Blake Barrett, who we all know, local agent, really good guy. And I think he was a salary cap casualty, basically, right?
As
long as his
right.
his health is, because I don't know his age, but I'm guessing, what, late 20s?
He's 30.
28?
30.
30, okay. A little bit older than I thought. But as long as his health checks out and everything's good there, he would be an upgrade for sure. I don't know Cam Bynum. I didn't expect him to be back. I thought he was going to price himself out. I thought he would get a bigger deal than what they were willing to go there. So, you know, we all love Cam's personality, and he produced at a high level here, but I just thought he was going to make too much money to bring him back, considering all the needs they have. We'll see what Harrison does, but, you know, they could be in the market for another free agent safety. And they signed a corner today from the Eagles. I think it's 27. That's the age I was looking at. And so that's a good sign that they're trying to get younger at cornerback. So starting to address the needs, the position and needs that they have.
We'll put Chip on hold. Come back to Chip Duck Wild Wolves State High School Hockey Tournament. Plenty of items with Mr. Scoggins. I get a chance to talk about Pella. This company I've worked with, the home I'm living in right now. Almost 20 years with Pella Windows and Doors. I told you a lot last year about the major changes, not just in my kitchen. That was the major part. And I loved, thought it was pretty darn good. It was fantastic, the changes the windows made to my kitchen. But now I'm moving. I'm finally leaving this house. I've been there almost 20 years. And, of course, the house I'm moving into, Pella Windows and Doors. 100 years. That's what they are celebrating this year, with the trust they've built up, the quality, the innovation, the service. Just backing up the service. By the way, it's PellaNorthland.com. Pella Windows are made to order just for you. You get to choose from an array of styles, features, and options that fit your place and your budget. Some of the strongest warranties in the business, and also a free, no obligation, in-home estimate, or you can stop by one of their showrooms, Plymouth and Woodbury, in the metro area. Until the 13th, this deal is available. 0% APR for 72 months or 40% off installation. You know how much I believe in Pella. You should do the same. PellaNorthland.com. Continuing with our friend Chip Scoggins. Chipper, let's talk about the professional hockey team in town. Russo with the stat I saw today. Since I think it's January 10th, the Wild for points in the league, 29 out of 32. And I got it. Kirill out, their best player. Their maybe most, well, how about this? Their best two-way player, Joel Eriksson Ek, out. Jonas Brodin, who is perpetually underrated on this team, out. So three of your five best players, without a doubt, out. But then we've had these multiple long stretches where Boldy is not scoring, where Faber's looked a little more human of late, where yesterday they lose to the Penguins, and okay, Crosby, Malkin, yeah, they're historic players, in particular Crosby, but they're not good. They're a lousy team. They are playing pretty lousy hockey for an extended period of time if you're only ahead of three teams for a couple months now.
Yeah, and it's one of those things you don't want to just completely explain away or blame away everything, all the struggles on injuries. But you can't ignore it, right? I mean, this is a team that
well stated.
You know, when we began the season, you're thinking, okay, what is this team? Because it's the final year of the purgatory, right? Of the three year, they completely overplayed expectations early on. Where you're thinking, okay, maybe this is a good team, and the way they're playing, I went and watched them early on, and I mean, just the style of play when they were healthy, when they had everybody going. the way they played and moved, and he was like, man, they are a good team, but they're just not capable of overcoming the, you know, losing Kirill and Arison Eck. I mean, those are their two most important forwards, and
yep.
I don't want to just let everybody off the hook because guys aren't performing right now to the way they need to, but you also have to understand it. Like, pull away, like you said, three of their four or five best players, you're not going to play at the same level. You're going to struggle. So I don't know. Well, because I don't have any idea, like, is Paul going to come back this year? Is he going to come back and be effective?
They don't know. You know,
they don't know. Yeah, I mean, Billy, I know I saw a quote from last week. He's kind of getting tired of asking about the timeline because they don't know a timeline that they can't put a definitive, you know, date on it. But I don't know. I mean, they're definitely – they need reinforcements. And unfortunately, with their salary situation, I don't know that they can get reinforcements here. So I don't know what the answer is other than guys are just going to have to – come together and try to pull themselves out of this without their best players.
What stood out most to you, because you saw a little more than I did, of the let's go just with the double-A side of the state high school hockey tournament with Moorhead, a team that people were touting all year, winning a wildly entertaining game against Stillwater 7-6 on Saturday?
That Moorhead team is skilled. Holy cow.
Yeah.
The level of play and talent in this day. I'm talking about the top end guys and even across the board, but from the time that I got, and it's the state of hockey. I know, you know, hockey didn't start when I got here 25 years ago, but man alive, these kids are unbelievable. Chad, you look at that Moorhead team and some of the goals those guys scored from bad angles and the shots. I mean, they were incredible. And Stillwater, you look at the talent they have. I mean, look at, once you get to a state tournament, you see all these teams and just the caliber of talent they have. It's really phenomenal. But it's this great championship goal for Stillwater to hang in there and make it close at the end when they were down 4-1 after 5-1 at one point. So, you know, a lot of their character. But Moorhead just has some high-end skills, some really talented players.
Let's talk Wolves. And then I want to get to a little St. Thomas basketball also. Let's praise Julius Randle. Randle has been one of these beguiling players his entire, really, his basketball run. Because even going back to Kentucky, he was phenomenal when he led them far in the tournament. And then he goes to the Lakers, and it was during that transition time, like when Kobe was just finishing. They didn't have enough talent. Then they were setting things up to pursue LeBron, so they were clearing out young guys all over the place. And he has a pretty good year in New Orleans, including time with Chris Finch. Then he goes to the Knicks when the Knicks had lost out on so many people and signs a big deal. And at first, he was their guy, right? But then they started adding players. And then he comes here, obviously, in the cat trade. And there's always the part about Randle where he's a ball stopper, it's bully ball. But then you see the assists, and you're like, well, are we going to see more of that? Chipper, he is playing great basketball right now. Like, he is seemingly looking to pass first, I'd say 80% of the time. But doesn't go so far where he's passing up shots. And obviously Nas, how he played when he was out, and Gobert was nice last night. And they beat, I mean, the Spurs are a lottery team without Wemby. But just the way Julius Randle is playing, he's in better shape, the shoulder's better, the groin is better. If he plays like this, they are a very intriguing team in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I was like a lot of fans where the first part of the season, I was basically out. I was just like, this doesn't fit, right? I mean, he doesn't fit with what they're doing. It was driving me crazy how much he held the ball and would just kind of kill the flow. I didn't think he was working well with anybody. But this season, he's been back, and maybe it just took time for him to figure out how to play with these guys. And him being a facilitator and moving the ball and picking his spots to score, you know, now that they're healthy, I want to see what this looks like down the stretch where these guys can actually have some continuity and play with each other.
Agree.
Because
it's intriguing.
And I don't know that Finch will go 10 deep every night, but I hope he doesn't forget about the young guys that we saw in all the absences, because I think they deserve some minutes. But you're seeing where we all said, I'll just keep – and I was guilty. I was like, man, the way those young guys are playing, I'd rather not see Randall get a lot of minutes. But now you watch – since he's been back, you're like, you know what? He's pretty darn good. I mean, he's valuable to this.
Yeah.
So
right.
I was wrong.
Well, I don't know if you've been wrong versus it was fair to say he's playing a lot better. Now, the last thing, and then you have to go and we have to go. Over the next 4 years, we're talking men's basketball. Which team goes to the NCAA tournament more, St. Thomas or Minnesota?
As I sit here today, I would probably say St. Thomas, but I am curious. I reported this last week that Mark Cole is going to be very aggressive with the new revenue sharing, that they're going to spend considerable money on their basketball roster starting next year, the Gophers. I want to see what that looks like and what that leads to.
Does that mean Ben's more likely to stay or go?
I don't know that it's tied to it, Chad. I really don't know that it's tied to it. I think they just know that men's basketball program has to be more successful, both on the court, which then leads to be more successful financially. In today's age, football and men's basketball have to be good in college sports because there's so much money tied to it. When you're going to start to be giving out $21 million every year to athletes, you got to make money on those two as much as you can. And so I don't know that it's tied to Ben, but I know that they're going to be aggressive and they want to pour more money into their product to get better players here. So whether it's Ben or a new coach, I'm curious to see what that looks like and what kind of talent they can bring in and how that affects the product. But I think now St. Thomas is on, you know, can go to the tournament and they got a great coach in Johnny Tower. I think we will see them there sooner than later.
Curious if Johnny Tower would be pursued by any other schools, right?
Yeah, it could be. Anybody that's watched this team and watched the way they play and their style of play, you'd be crazy not to talk to him.
Yeah.
But I know he is St. Thomas, right? Professor, all the things that they stand for, so he loves it there. So I you know, it would take a great opportunity for him to leave. I know that.
Thank you, sir. Drive safe. We'll talk next week.
All right, brother. We'll see you.
Chip Scoggins. Let's come back. And let's talk about whether 16-year-olds should vote. It's almost tradition in Minnesota or somewhere in the country where we talk about, oh, should we go to 21? There's 18, fine. No, let's look at 16. 16 is back in play in Minnesota. My gut tells me most people are saying this is too young. You can chime in right now. 651-461-9226.